Hey guys, welcome to this week's episode of Darren Matthews and Sometimes Friends. This is episode 10, a little bonus podcast here this week because I'm going to be away this weekend at a lovely wedding, so I might not get a chance to record one. This week I chat to Cochlan Fearn from Newry, one of the Scarlet Bells burlesque troupe. We talk about dance, the art of burlesque, the arts in small towns, and also you might enjoy some of our shtick about working in hospitality. If you enjoy the podcast, guys, like, subscribe, share, tell your friends about it. Hope you enjoy. Good morning, good afternoon, and or good night, depending on what time of the day you're listening to this. This is the same silly intro I do to every episode of the podcast. Welcome to this week's edition of Darren Matthews and Sometimes Friends. I am joined by one of the burlesque bells from Newry, and we'll start off with the young lady's name. So I'm going to let you introduce yourself because I have a question about the name, so please say hello.
Hello.
Your name is?
My name is Cochlan Fearn.
Cochlan, first question, what has been the stupidest pronunciation of your name you've either seen written or spoken?
Okay, well, actually, not too long ago, I went to get a coffee in Junction, and the girl spelled it as K-O-S-H-L-I-N-N. So it's like Cochlan, which is actually is probably not that far off the pronunciation.
Cochlan or Cochlan?
Cochlan, yeah, it was weird. But also, my dad's side of the family can't pronounce my name at all. So I get a mixture of Cochlan or Cochlan, but it's not that at all. Like,
okay.
Caitlin, I hate getting called Caitlin.
Because
it's just
Caitlin's
a completely different name altogether. Like, at least Cochlan is a variant of Cochlan, but Caitlin is just not right.
You could just put that down to a bad accent.
You could.
See,
I like.
Now look, you think you've got problems, okay? You have to remember as well that we are both from the same place. We're both from Newry.
That's very true.
Now, my name is Darren Matthews, but I grew up in a place where people pronounce Darren as Darn.
That's so true, actually.
And Matthews miraculously has two F's instead of two T's. So my name when I was growing up was Darn Matthews.
That's amazing.
So you don't have problems.
That's amazing. Oh!
Mine doesn't even have fadas. No one should get that
wrong.
Yeah,
see, no, everyone forgets that I have a fada, though.
Okay.
Like, no one puts the fada in anywhere, even when they're typing it, nowhere. So, like, it always looks like Caitlin. And then whenever I spell my name, they're like, oh, how do you spell Cochlan? And I spell it C-A-I-T-L-I-F-A-D-A-N. And then they're like, oh, so it's Caitlin. And you're like, no, it's not.
Okay, is this an ongoing battle you see happening?
This
literally
is
until
every
the day you
day. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Also, there was a weird one time in work, actually, a regular customer who always comes in called me Forkling. Forkling.
Forkling?
Forkling. I shit you not.
What was the Forkling. Basis of that?
I don't get it. I actually don't. I just brought him his food and he was like, thanks, Forkling. And I was like, you know when you're so shocked and you don't know what to say? So I just walked away. I was like, what just happened?
Okay, I thought I had problems with the darn mafia
thing. Forkling is actually my favourite. I might change my name to that on every
Deadpool kind of thing?
Something like
I think you just need a couple of signatures and you're Forkling for the rest
Forkling,
of your days.
Forkling, Mike.
I've never met a Forkling. That's not too
There's
bad.
Not even an FN Cochlan. Like, I don't get it.
That's okay. And you, obviously, where you work, you don't have a name badge either, so people can't call you Caitlin all day and make you angry.
See, that I think that would annoy me more as well if I was wearing a name badge because people would probably be like, oh, I'll try and, like, you know, call them by their names and then it'll just get something completely different.
The only place I had a name badge I worked many years ago was HMV and Dunn's. And it's, in Newry before it closed. It's kind of creepy.
McKay's?
Yes, many years ago.
Aww.
It's kind of creepy whenever people have access to your name but you don't know them.
Because
people will sort of just drop your name and just like, that's only if you have to complain.
Yeah.
Don't be using it. It's not for casual use.
It was really weird. I remember the first time I ever met someone else. I've met maybe two or three Cochlans in my life.
I know two.
That's kind of disappointing. I want to be the only one.
The other one's from Barcroft. Sorry, buddy.
That's very close as well.
Exactly.
But I know a Cochlan, and then I met two Cochlans, and it was in the shop in the Meta. I was like maybe 8 or 9, and my grand always gave me money to go and get a pint mix up in the shop after school. And I went, and there was a girl, maybe a couple of years older than me, standing at the counter. And the guy was serving her, he obviously knew her, and he was all like, oh yeah, Cochlan, there you go. And I just looked up and was like, what the fuck just happened?
Is that guy talking to me?
Is he talking to me? Like, I am a child. And then, no, the girl was called Cochlan, and I just remember being absolutely mind blown. Because I thought I was the only one.
I was going to say, in the long term, though, you are going to have your revenge, because people, especially here in Belfast where we are now, the Irish name is becoming really popular.
It
it's
is.
A really in vogue thing.
Yeah, it
and
is.
people are giving their kids names I have never heard of.
Yeah, like completely.
Yeah, I think they're making them up. But
sound mythological, like.
Yeah, I did that. My Irish was never that good, but I'm not sure if these are invented or there's just fadas everywhere.
No, yeah, so. they're throwing fadas in everywhere, like fucking up the whole system.
Oh yeah, I meant to tell you, you're not allowed to swear in the podcast.
Oh shit.
Only
joking. My heart. I was like, do we have to stop?
Yeah, this isn't like your life on the BBC. This is a public domain podcast.
Yet.
Well, you're not going to get on
get
this.
There.
You're not going to get on saying stuff like the meta.
The meta. Oh, but you know,
I'm calling me Darn. Okay,
Darn.
So let's get this right.
Oh, Darn's horrible, isn't it?
It is. No wonder I left near you when I was 19.
Get me out of here.
I know, but and yet here I am on the podcast wanting to talk to somebody from my homeland.
Yeah, you just can't get rid of it though. You really can't.
I know. Well, I mean, I run my
it's
comedy club down there as well.
That's true, actually.
My mum's still there, so I can go home and get a nice dinner. It's
obviously,
great.
You have to use your family.
Exactly. to feed me and clothe me. One of the things I wanted to talk about was on the podcast previously, I've had Leanne McCooey and Joe McGuigan, both from Newry. So
yeah.
Joe's a musician. Leanne's a comic like myself, mm-hmm. runs... McCooey's up on Monon Street there, and you're sort of not claim to fame. What the group you're part of? I introduced you as being one of the Burlesque Belles.
Yes, well, actually, recently we have changed the name to Scarlet Belles.
Oh, I'm.
Yes, it's only a recent thing.
Is
it's
this
actually,
an exclusive, or have I just not
more famous than the Burlesque? No, we were always Burlesque Belles, but then the Scarlet Belles. It's just because within. The burlesque troupe, we do a lot of different things. Like, there's a whole cabaret aspect. And then, like, for example, whenever we perform, I focus mainly on my contemporary dance. So the Scarlet Belles was just, like, a more kind of broader term for, like, the shows and, like, including all the different dance styles that we actually
do. Yeah, because obviously there's so many members, but you guys will do shows where it'll be different shows every time.
Yeah, basically.
Everyone's got different routines.
Yeah, so my mum runs the Scarlet Belles, and originally she started off with Pole Fitness in Newry, so that opened maybe, I don't know, oh, years ago, 15 years ago maybe, I want to say 15, sorry mum, if it's more.
We'll get this fact checked,
we'll
just edit this.
Eventually, bleep.
Yeah.
But yeah, so give or take 15 years ago, and she opened Pole Fitness on Boat Street, above Colin Price's ice cream shop, best ice cream shop in the
fair enough. And people, by the way, if no one's from Newry, they're just not going to get any
of
these
references. Yeah, well, I have to give you descriptions. Like,
okay. We got to give you the shout-out.
So, but mum, actually, because she got into that, she went to a circus school in Kent. Like, she's a teacher, had children, she was just like, fuck this, I'm away to Kent to go to a circus school for a weekend.
Make sure them children are watching
things. Yeah, here, as long as there's food in some shape or form, they're grand. And she did that, then she did like a whole pole course, I kind of was very young, I don't know, and then she opened up Pole Fitness, and it's very popular. Then she got into burlesque, and then we had Pole Fitness and the Burlesque Belles, and last year she decided to close the Pole Fitness part of it and concentrate mainly in the burlesque. So only we don't do the Pole Fitness anymore, which is very, very sad, because it was very, very fun and very, very good for your body. It's really good fitness. Very
true.
Good fitness.
I haven't tried it myself.
You should.
I was gonna, but I just looked so stupid in those shorts. So I was like,
no
can't.
One looks stupid. If you're on a pole, you look great in shorts, no matter what. Like,
I know. Probably just because I was only wearing the shorts, that was a bit weird.
There was no pole.
There was no pole. It was. It was a dark period in my life. Let's not talk about it. This is one of the cool things as well, because we have this weird thing of being from Newry where
yes.
we give it a lot of shit.
Let's talk about that.
But lots of people give a lot of shit as well. But then
it kind of deserves a lot of shit.
I know, but then there's also artsy people who try and do nice stuff like your mum doing.
This is the thing. There are so many talented people in Newry. There are so many different artists that do loads of different things and should be recognised and cannot be recognised in Newry and thus must go elsewhere. And like, because with the burlesque, we gig all over Ireland. Like, we have been doing weddings all over Ireland. We've been doing surprise birthday parties, everything, charity events, any charity event, like you name it, people wanted the burlesque, and it's amazing. And we have surprised many a groom and many a bride on their wedding day, and where they were like, what the fuck's happening? And we were like, we're here.
And isn't that awkward if neither of the two of them have booked you?
Well, one of them usually didn't book. It wasn't just, it wasn't like giving a stripper a party or something.
No, that's a stag to yourself.
There we go. But but in Newry, like there is, we have done so many shows in Newry. Like we did shows in The Relic and we did shows in Bellini's and all of that there. And it's been a while since we've actually put on our own show and not just a charity event. I think we're doing one in March time, maybe. Mum said, I hope she follows through.
Cool. No pressure because we've now revealed it.
We have revealed it, mother. It has to go forth.
I do want to just say as well, just while we're on the whole thing, because you were saying like obviously you work with your mum when you're doing this.
Yeah.
But your mum does all the organising. I also used to dance with my mum.
What?
Yeah, it was in the 90s though. It was a thing called line dancing.
You did line dancing?
I did line dancing when I was a wee boy.
No, you did not. Did he give me a demo?
No. Actually, that'd
could
be
have
weird.
Just pretend, actually. He did it. Wow, he's amazing.
Line dancing is such a weird thing. It was just essentially a community centre in Camla, a Garth Brooks CD, and people just kind of marching around together. It's such a
That's
weird
what you want,
thing.
Though. That's what is you it? Want. Probably
I
don't know. Not.
I feel like maybe it was my ones were just going to it and then I was being brought along so I couldn't be left in the house on my own to cause mischief.
Probably,
so.
Actually.
But it was a massive big thing.
Yeah, my great aunties were really into line dancing.
Yeah. It was such a...
great aunties and you were a child. Like,
it was such a 90s thing and then it was like, and it doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, it actually doesn't. Where did that go?
Maybe it's just not as popular.
Maybe burlesque has just overtaken everything.
But I do also want to blame line dancing maybe for the fact now that young people are jiving.
There is a lot of jiving going on, right?
Are you a jiver?
I'm not.
Good.
Why good?
Because country music's horrendous.
I can't dive. It is shit. Like, I do prefer a salsa.
See, that's way more artsy. Like, when I was younger, I played in bands, so it was, I like rock and punk and metal, so
yeah.
Dancing was kind of jumping around.
Just
not so much dancing.
Headbanging, like?
Headbanging.
Well, that's kind of what you
want. Bit of long hair, let her fly. It's all right.
We'll not speak of that.
But how long have you actually been doing... Well, I mean, obviously your mum's been running the now Scarlet Bells for ages.
Yeah.
How long have you been doing it yourself?
Since she began, I was always dancing in the shows. Like, I started myself dancing the three. So I went to, like, ballet, modern and tap, and then everything that fell into, like, jazz and blah, 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 loads of different types of it. But whenever she started doing the shows, I would have performed in the shows doing my own, like, type of dancing. But it's maybe since I was about 17 or 18, the actual like genre of burlesque was becoming more and more prominent in my own performances. And like more recently, I've been given workshops as well with mum. So it's now that I'm actually starting to get into the proper burlesque, now that I've like matured.
Yeah. Well, weirdly enough, my first exposure to any sort of burlesque thing was not in Newry, which was obviously you would have thought if I was there, I would have maybe caught a performance.
Yeah, you could have been the number one fan, like.
Sorry, buddy. I lived abroad for a few years, so I wasn't there. When I was in Melbourne in 2013, there was the Australian Burlesque Festival. It moves city every year, but it was in Melbourne the year I was there. Melbourne's a very artsy city anyway, so we used to go to a lot of theatre, a lot of comedy, a lot of dance stuff.
Yeah.
We went to this really cool club. I think we got like a group on one time.
Oh my God.
And me and my partner at the time, we went to, it was this, you know, sort of you get a nice Bellini cocktail. It was this old 30s style... like cabaret nightclub. It was really, really cool. So I looked massively out of place, but it was, and they had, it was part of a festival. So there were burlesque dancers from all over the world. And it was the first time I'd ever seen anything like it. Cause you know, obviously in my limited experience of it, I was just like, these women are taking off their clothes, but they're not strippers. I'm confused as to what's happening.
Yeah, because you don't see anything with burlesque either.
Exactly.
It's that whole, like, art of tease. That's actually how it's described, the art of tease.
That's what I was like, what is the official...
Yeah, no, that's what it is, because, see, we'll get back to Newry, actually.
Fair
Newry
enough.
Being closed-minded and all that. Like, I remember, even still, there's still people now that come to the performances, and you can just see in their faces. You can see when you're dancing in front of them, the absolute look of disgust and, like... There's still a lot of stigma. No matter what people say, there's still stigma about it. People still, even people my age, I remember, have said to me, like, oh, your mum strips. Or, like, and I'm like, she's not on a fucking podium, like, with dollars all around her. Like, she doesn't strip.
Yeah.
And is not a problem.
Yeah, in Newry, we take euros and pounds.
We take euros and pounds. I was
so
like, at least get your facts right. Fuck. But so many people have this big thing that, oh, burlesque, they look it up and they see like corsets and fishnets and they're like, oh, strippers. And you're like, no, you do not see anything yeah, you might take off your bra, but there's nipple tassels. You don't see the nipples. Like, everything's covered. It's the whole art of tease, and that's, like, it's called strip tease.
Yeah, but it's such a like, a vintage form of stuff as
well. It is. And
which,
like,
is another thing that's back in vogue. All nostalgia, yeah, all and the, yeah, that 50s, it's all back.
It's all back. And, like, you know, we try and recreate the great Dita Von Teese, yeah, an absolute icon.
One of my mates is going to see her. She's doing, or maybe she's already done, the Olympia Theatre. I think it's sold out long ago.
Obviously,
I,
like,
think it might
serious?
Be next year she's doing.
Yeah, that's the dream.
But linking it back to The Rock, she used to date Marilyn Manson, so I know that.
Fact of the day.
Well, that's just how I know who Dita Von Teese is, so.
I see,
all you need to be is a millionaire rock star and get to work with these hot burlesque dancers.
Yeah, that's it. That's all you need to be.
All
have
you need
money.
To be. Have money. No, that's back to the strippers thing again. That's Motley Crue. I'm mixing these up again. I mean, that's cool as well. So you think it's for somewhere like Newry? But I mean, you said you guys have performed all over Ireland.
Yeah, we perform all over. And like,
so is it a mixed bag? Is it people are, some people are really into it, other people aren't sure?
Yeah, and you know what? No matter where you perform, I feel like there's always going to be someone who is very judgmental and has a lot of internal, like, hate for what you do, because...
Presbyterians?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Fair enough. They're very stony faced.
Oh, Catholics love it.
I've done
Catholics love the stripping, like.
It's the shame, you see. It's the shame.
It's the shame.
Yeah.
But like almost like every event that we have performed in, I have seen wives and girlfriends like turn their partner's face away from the stage. Like, you see this all the time. You see when I'm dancing, like, I have yet to fully take off all my clothes, but I will be doing so, right? And
I have
seen
the full Monty Newry style.
Let me just release this now live on air that I will be taking off. You heard it here first.
My mad isn't this?
But yeah, I've seen so many, even whenever I'm doing contemporary dance, and the look of disgust, like rolling their eyes, turning partners' faces away. And you know what? You love to see it. You absolutely love to see it, because you're just like, to be you and to be that angry about a form of art, like someone performing and dancing in front of you, to be that angry and like judgmental about something that takes a lot of confidence and, I must say, talent to do. It does. Like,
but should all art not promote some response? It's an art form after all.
Oh, it is an art form. I totally agree with that. And no, that's what I'm saying. You love to see it. You love to see the mixed reactions, because, like, honestly, it's laughable if you're completely judgmental.
So yeah, I think it's funny as well, because obviously what I do as a stand-up is, I don't want to say it's similar to what you do, but in the basis that it's instantly reviewable,
yeah,
your audience lets you know.
Mm-hmm.
It must be the same with the dance.
Oh yeah.
Because you're either, as you say, you elicit different reactions from different people.
Yeah,
so,
you do. And you can tell by the response after, like, as soon as a song ends, you can tell,
yeah,
what the general reaction is. Like, if there's a great applause, like, they've loved it. But, like, yeah, we have been in places where it's been like, oh,
yeah,
wasn't expecting this, guys, but thanks for the performance.
Yeah.
You know, it's been
I
like
thought
that.
This was just going to be the speeches and then dessert.
Like, why are they stripping? No, yeah, no, you see a lot of different reactions, like, with it, and it's quite entertaining.
But this was the thing, maybe from my exposure initially when I was in Australia, which is, I mean, as I said, Melbourne is already in a very artsy city, so
yeah,
maybe they're less shockable, or...
That's a great place to have seen.
Or people were actually going to it. So, what was the one? There was a young lady danced to... It's a song by Nick Cave and Kylie Minogue, The Wild Rose.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Do you know the song?
Yeah, it's a very dark song.
It is a very dark song, but
like,
this was...
depressing.
This was amazing. Well, it is again about a guy who murders his
it
lover.
Is like...
But that's not the point. The point was it was such a... such a difference to the lady who was dancing versus what we were listening to.
Yeah.
It was, which meant I was completely mesmerized by it as well. And then this was the first time I'd ever seen anything like this.
Sure.
And it was that confusion in my small town brain of, is this stripping? But it's not.
Is this, why are they stripping,
yeah,
to a murder?
I know, but the girl came out, it was like, there was nearly like stage sets and props, and there was
That's a very different song to choose to dance to. That, I love that.
Yeah, but what they did was, because it was a festival and because it was promotion of the art, as you say, there were different styles of dance, and then there was like a traditional, you know, swinging the glove and that kind of,
yeah,
the kind of cheeky tease, and then that the Wild Rose was a very serious piece.
That's class.
But it was cool because it went through all these different styles, and I was like, I've never seen anything like this. It was like a 2-hour show.
See, that would be a great experience.
Yeah, and but we were in the right It was like a good comedy club when you've got the right stage and the right lighting.
Yeah, the right venue and everything's fit. Yeah.
This was like a 1930s nightclub, like an old speakeasy bar.
Oh my god.
And we were like sitting at these tables drinking these lovely cocktails. We were all dressed up and this was the show's bar.
That's
and they had like a really cool MC come out and, you know, have a bit of fun with the audience. And
oh my god.
I feel like it took any seriousness out of it.
Yeah.
As in it was, the basis was you're here to enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
And this should just be a bit of fun.
Yeah.
So nobody was, I think maybe that was in case people who were brought along, who had never seen something like that before,
weren't
uncomfortable,
shocked, or
so the MC was kind of cheeky, came out and did a few bits and pieces. So
that's class. That's the dream. I would love to perform in somewhere like that.
Yeah, but that was like a festival booked for that. But yeah. I just sort of ended up at it because I was just going to different artsy nights. I was like a backpacker, so anything that was, you could get like Groupons for or cheap stuff too. So we sort of discovered this by accident, which was really
cool.
That
was extremely lucky for you to discover something like that.
It was like $30 and we got like a free Bellini cocktail when you went in, and then there was like an interval and stuff. You could go get drinks and stuff. It was really, really. Yeah, it was. I'm trying to remember like how to describe the night, but it was very mesmerizing anyway.
Mesmerizing is a good word.
Yeah, because there was even, and the other thing was as well, the dancers were all ages, all shapes and sizes.
That's the thing. That's actually what I wanted to say as well, because
that was the difference I thought between.
Yeah, because growing up, like dancing's been my whole life. Always has been. Always will be. But growing up, like, that standard dance, like, dancing setting that I grew up with, it's so, you have to be one size to be, even, like, see if you want to be a ballerina, you cannot have any bit of fat on you, like, and it's still like that nowadays, you can't, and, like, growing up, there was a lot of, dance is a very competitive thing to be a part of.
I've seen Fame, I know.
We've all experienced it. But no, it is, and like it's toxic. Like, I will come out and say that it is toxic. And I remember going to dancing, like, classes and lessons, and just being so sad and so self conscious because, like, there's always in dancing, there's always going to be, like, you know, the skinny beautiful dancer, and like they get picked and like whatever. But burlesque is just so inclusive to everyone. Like, I'm pretty sure there's women in their 50s, late 50s, early 60s at my mother's burlesque classes, and every single shape, size, height, whatever, they're in that class. It's so inclusive and it's so good, and every single person who goes to our classes and performs with us in all the shows have said that they have never felt more confident in their life. There are people that start and they have absolutely zero confidence in themselves. They're so, like, self-conscious about their body. They're so, like, they have this image of themselves that just is not nice in their own head, and they come to burlesque. And it's a bit of crack, like, every single class you're in, almost in tears laughing. Like, it's just so fun because my mum's an absolute twat. She's hilarious, I love her.
Lovely woman.
Lovely woman, we love her. Anyway, lovely cut woman. That. No, she is great. And, like, everyone is so, they're so welcoming. And, like, you just, the time passes like that. It's just so fun. But it's just so inclusive. And every single person who's come to us have just said that they feel so confident. And you see people go from 0 to 100 in, like, matters, like, regarding the confidence.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's, I would think in the basis, is it sort of, I know what you were saying, so it's all inclusive of all sexes, I would imagine, but it's, or is it all ladies?
Ours is all ladies, but, like, that's only because only ladies have come to us.
Yeah, I that's like, what I get. I mean, yeah,
sure,
burlesque is an art form,
we'd be like,
it?
Yeah, it's all forms. No, sure, if you go to a proper burlesque show, you're going to see men perform whatever they want, like.
Yeah, but the other thing as well is, with the classes your mum runs as well, it must be a nice, safe environment for the ladies, because, as you said, they're all there. It's a very positive environment. It's not, as you said, dance can be quite toxic, but this is, initially, the whole point is this is, I mean, is it like a just get over yourself and have a giggle kind of thing?
That is it. And, like, you come in, and if you're, there's no pressure to do anything. Like, obviously, there is the, like, taking off your clothes aspect of it. But mum, like, posts, and she puts up on Facebook, oh, we will be taking off a bra, but, like, wear a top underneath. Bring an extra bra to wear over your clothes. Like, you don't, in the classes, you don't actually strip down to nothing.
Oh, I get that, yeah.
But, like, she said, if you don't want to do it, you just, like, I don't know, improvise, like, do a twirl. Like, you don't have to take off clothes if you don't want to. It's just all a bit of fun. But it is a very inclusive thing, and it's just such good crack, and there's no, like, competitiveness. And if you go to a proper burlesque show, you will not only see, like, a little pencil dancing on the stage. Like, there's a proper burlesque show, cabaret, everyone in it.
One of the ones that I wanted to address when I was talking about like people of all different shapes and sizes. One of the last dancers on the night that I went to was, I think she was like the president of the, you know, the Victorian State Burlesque Society, something that they've worn for years. But she got up and danced. This was a woman, I'd say she's probably in her late 40s, early 50s.
Yeah.
And she was not a skinny woman. Yeah. And she finished her dance, and I remember just thinking, that's probably one of the most erotic things I've ever seen.
Oh my God, it's
fascinating. But it completely got past my ideals of what a good body should look like, yeah. How a body should
yeah.
move.
Yeah.
And it was to the song, and it was, you know, her dance was very serious, but it was, I couldn't stop looking. It was brilliant.
That's so beautiful to hear. It really, really is.
Because, but during that night, there had been like the funny dance, you know, people who are a bit of crack, that like serious dance, but
it ended on...
The show moved so well.
Yeah.
And obviously they had staggered everybody out to, you'll go here and we'll ebb and flow with the show. Yeah. So,
no,
but it was cool.
That.
And to see that, I was like, well, that was amazing. Because like the girl who did like the Wild Rose, she looked like a fitness model. She was a stunning girl.
Yeah.
And her dance was beautiful. And then I was just like, wow, how do you follow that?
Yeah.
And then the other lady came out and she was like, oh, please welcome our guest dancer.
Yeah. See, everyone's so different. And like, you can do whatever you want that suits your own style. And like, burlesque in general is all about empowering women. Like, that's basically what it is about. It's all about empowering women and celebrating the body and all this here, because that's what I love about it. It's just so inclusive to everyone, and that's why even now in our shows I'm moving more towards performing. Like, I will always stick with my contemporary dancing, but that's why now at like this age, like, I want to move more into actually doing the proper burlesque, because I will be taking over the burlesque bell, the scarlet bell, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever mum decides once you learn to ever give it up,
yeah, once you know, once you learn what the proper name is, you'll be.
I need to learn that. Like,
but the I know you're still dancing yourself, and so you guys are gonna do a new show in the year.
Yes, well, I was pushing for a Christmas show a few months ago, but we wouldn't have had it ready in time. So
Jingle Bells, come on, people.
Jingle, we've used that before.
That's fine. I'm
have you
saying.
Not seen my Instagram? I'm queen of the puns. We've of used Jingle Bells.
That's
like
okay.
What?
I thought that was off the cuff, that's fine.
Although it was pretty good to do off the cuff.
I know, not bad.
But
I
no, we
that
actually
sometimes.
Did that as a show before. It was actually really good. But yeah, yeah, I think now she's going for like the March thing, because we want to include in this show not just burlesque. We want to include like, well, obviously it will be predominantly burlesque, but we want to include like songs and stuff. So there will be singing, and there will be like, we want to concentrate more on the actual musical theatre stuff, like Chicago and Nine and Burlesque, which is the movie, obviously.
Well, that'd be cool, because I mean, that's
cabaret, all of that.
If you're bringing in new aspects of it, maybe it might bring a crowd who wouldn't strictly go see a burlesque show, but
that's
maybe
it.
Maybe something like, I mean, shows like Riverdance were known as an Irish dancing show, but they had tap elements, they had jazz, mm-hmm. they had all sorts of dance in there. So
yeah.
They lured you in with the fiddly D, and then they're like, wait a minute,
yeah, what's this?
There's salsa and people doing backflips.
Yeah, so I'm gonna start plugging that now. This is the first plug for the show.
Brilliant. And also pressure that your mum books it now.
Pressure, you have to go through with it now, because I'm telling everybody.
I know. So the other thing is, if anybody is listening to here in, anyone listening to the podcast in the Newry area and would like to go along to a class, how do they do so and where do they do that?
Well, it's the Scarlet Bells Facebook page, and we get back to you basically right away. It's run by my mum and Helen. So Helen is also a dancer with the troupe. And
moms love Facebook,
like, they really do. So yeah, there's the Facebook, and then there's a phone number. I just think it's my mom's number. So
find
that's
that
on
find that on Facebook.
Find that on Facebook. I won't be giving it out, guys.
We don't want to be starting some sort of I don't want to start some sort of stalking case where somebody's
what?
Heard about a
Fuck
hot
it.
Mom and this is her phone number.
Stalk her all you want, she loves it.
Behave yourself.
So,
don't do that. I don't want to be named in the court
this
case.
This is
okay?
Not your responsibility.
Yeah, exactly.
I also put up on my like Instagram, whatever, if I'm taking my own workshops.
Cool.
And then people just get in contact there, so it's actually.
And let's talk. If I mean, we live up in Belfast. If there, I mean, are there groups all over the country?
Of us or in general?
Oh, not of you guys, but burlesque. There's got to be burlesque groups everywhere, right?
Yeah, there are, because we've gone to a few events where there's been burlesque, but I couldn't tell you any names, like.
Well, folks, give that a Google in your area. You might find something a bit more fun to
do.
Yeah,
do it.
And then get in touch with the Scarlet Bells down in Newry.
But we're the best in Ireland.
Exactly. Solid, seamless advertising there.
Yeah, not biased at all, but they are the greatest, Scarlet Bells.
That's fun. So you'll find them on the Facebook. So you can
also
do that.
Instagram.
Also, oh, they have their own Instagram.
They have their own, because it's 2019, Darren.
That's I was born in the 80s. Leave me alone, okay?
Like, Jesus.
I'm trying to. Okay, I'm trying to. You're lucky I have a podcast, okay?
I know, I'm so shocked.
I know, I am too. I was told to get this. It's fine. Moving on from the burlesque, because I think we've... I just wanted to tidy that section up with a bit of a nice pitch that we could get you some advertising off it.
Thank you.
One of the other things I want to talk to you is... Well, I mean, we talk about social media, which we're both on. So yes. We have Instagrams and Twitters and all that kind of crack.
Yeah.
One of the other things that we both suffer daily is the fact that we work in hospitality.
It is indeed.
When I'm not a comedian, I have a real job.
It is a daily burden.
Boo earns. Yeah. One of the things... You started a fantastic... thread.
I did. I'm going to get my thread.
Go and find it so we can find this. So this young lady started a thread on her Twitter that I saw ages ago, and I think I might have jumped in with a few examples, or I usually comment a few bits and bobs.
That's brilliant.
But tell it. What is the basis of the thread?
The basis of the thread is just comments I receive daily from customers. I hate to say it, but they are mainly men. They are mainly men.
Who would have thought?
Who would have thought, guys, in the 21st century?
Lads, but you are letting us down here.
Mainly of a sexual nature, I must say. Grand. That is also no surprise. But I just, they were too good to not share with the general public.
To be fair, I'd be surprised if men were making sexual remarks to me when I'm giving them coffee, so... Call me old-fashioned.
Darn.
Come here.
But, yeah, so I was just like, no, a lot of these are just too good not to share. My first, right, so I started... The thread.
Oh, okay, yeah, we'll do your socials after if people want to check out your stuff and follow you. Yeah,
oh
so.
Yeah, get me some followers.
Exactly.
So the first one that I started the thread off was, I'll set the scene. I was walking up from the dry food store because I was sent down to get a bunch of bananas. Shock. The banana, the symbol, right? And there was a very weird looking banana, I must say. It was a very weird looking banana. And I was like, haha, everyone look at this weirdly shaped banana. It was very weird. It was also quite...
Did you say this to the entire shop?
No, I was talking to my coworkers, but someone overheard me. And he said, and I quote, I'm sure you've, emphasis on the you've, seen stranger looking bananas than that one. A man, I have never seen him before, said this to my face.
He just felt the need to share
I'm
his
sure
thoughts.
You, but what does that say about me? What, I'm sure I've seen, how does he know I've ever seen a banana?
Well, you had a banana in your hand.
Darn.
I know what he was getting at, but I'm...
Yeah, but like, that's so... He just...
I'm playing devil's advocate here. I'm certainly not trying to defend
I know, but that. He just like automatically assumed that I've seen stranger looking bananas than that one that I was carrying that had nothing to do with anything except being a fruit.
See, I used to have this really fun game. I used to work in Maggie Mays many years ago up here on the Millen Road.
Did you?
Yeah, and we had a lot of student workers. And if any... So... But that meant we had a lot of students in as well. Yeah. So you get a lot of sort of first, second year university students. And if I ever overheard anybody saying anything inappropriate about one of my co-workers, like some of the little student guys who worked for us,
yeah.
I was a supervisor. If I ever say, I used to just lean in and just say stuff like, you should probably watch yourself because that girl's only 15. Now they weren't. All the staff are like over 18, but I just really like creeping people out just because I'm just like, if you're going to be a creep, I'm going to make you feel creepy.
Love that.
So fun game to play.
That is actually, I'll just be like, do you know I'm 14? Like,
yeah, I'm just going to turn that one on you.
Do you know that I am extremely underage here?
Yeah, I'm at school and you're in prison soon.
I'm at school, like.
Yeah.
Okay, another one. This is a regular woman who comes in and she just said to me, just bought so many clothes in the charity shop, I'm going to orgasm. I was like, right, okay, that's cool.
Was that but instead of hello?
That
I always
was,
prefer
that,
hello.
She just walked in and was like, she was carrying these bags. And I was just like, oh, well, blah, blah, blah. Do you want an Americano? And she was just like, yeah, oh my God, I just bought so many clothes in the charity shop. I'm going to orgasm. And I was like, I don't know you well enough to know your sexual feelings about shopping.
Yeah. Like, good, just, I mean, good for you.
Good for you. Like, I'm so glad. Okay, right. This one is very... Oh, yes. I remember this. So... This guy comes in and he owns his own cafe and we're just, I was talking with my co-workers with him, to him, and we were just like, whatever, having the crack, and he was all like, my cafe, blah, blah, blah. And then he comes out with, I always said, don't screw the crew, but you don't work in my cafe, so it's okay.
I mean, I feel like consent's an issue there too. You know what I mean?
I'm just going to repeat that for the listeners.
Yeah.
I always said, don't screw the crew. But you don't work in my cafe. So it's okay. Is it? Is it?
No.
I don't think it is.
No, yeah, I feel it is. I feel like you need an extra person's permission involved in that one.
I feel like I would need to say if I wanted to do that.
Also, if he worked in the cafe on his own, that would make him a wanker.
Like,
so.
I only just got that.
All right. Well, she's a dancer. She's not.
I'm quite slow. You can't have everything.
She's not here for the brains. All right.
I'm really not.
You can count to four. It's okay.
I can. That's all you need. Right. And then the most recent one. So I like wearing t-shirts off the shoulder, right? It's not a big deal.
How dare you?
One shoulder. One. Just one. Like, not two. You can't get everything. Like, you can't put them all in, like, comas, right?
Yeah.
So I work every Saturday and grind it at 7 o'clock in the morning. Lads, if he's want to call in for a coffee, it's my usual shift. And I came in and I was wearing a t-shirt where both my shoulders were covered.
Right.
And a man, a regular man, I hope you're listening, I'll not say your name, said, "Aren't you a bit overdressed today? You can normally see more of your shoulders."
Cool.
I was wearing a t-shirt. I don't know how I was overdressed.
At that point,
my shoulders were covered. How was that overdressed? You can, hold on, let me just repeat this one again. You can normally see more of your shoulders. Damn.
See, it's probably a good thing you're here giving us the context and also the creepy voice when you read it out. So we can emphasize the bit that we're talking about.
Oh god, like it's fascinating. It just blows my mind.
Like it wasn't a car, she was just holding a banana. She was holding a banana.
I was holding a banana.
And then that guy couldn't see your shoulders. So
yeah, you know, it's like, lads, just keep it, if you're thinking it, just keep it in your thoughts.
Yeah,
like,
put on your Twitter.
Have a filter. Put on your Twitter. I had to, you know, make the most of it. I had to take it to social media. I had to tell everyone, because people experience this every single day, though. And it's every single day that
Something happens.
Like, there's not a day goes by that, like, a sexual remark isn't made or, like, something inappropriate isn't made. Like, I have had women, like, I have tattoos. And there's a woman who comes in all of the time. And one time I was wearing a backless top. And she was all like to me, "I really think that you should stop getting tattoos." She was like, "How do you think, like, people are going to view you having tattoos?" I was like, "I have 5 tattoos and they're small enough. And also I want tattoos because I find them cool. And I will always get them if I want."
Are there any on your back? Is that what you could see?
Yeah, there's one on my back.
See?
Which is great.
Yeah, but that's the thing. So when people say to you, like, "Oh, what are they gonna look like when you're old?" You should be like, "I don't know, it's on my back. I can't see it.
It doesn't matter anyway. Fuck you." Yeah. No, this same woman also, I was wearing like a bralette and you could see it under my top. And it was off the shoulder and it looked great. And I was like, "Oh, this looks cool. I'm gonna work with this. I'm gonna go to work." And she was all like, "Oh, I thought I'd just let you know that I can see your bra." And I was like, "You're supposed to." I said this to her and I was just like, "I know you're supposed to."
She was like,
oh, right, okay, I'm sorry, I just thought I'd help you out there. And I was like, "You're not fucking helping me. Like, oh my, I can feel the wind on my shoulder. I know it's there." Like,
I feel like maybe years ago this woman would have petitioned to have you sent to the nuns, you know, that kind of thing.
I would have had a scarlet letter. Like,
yeah, you'd have been in the laundry.
Burned onto my forehead from this woman. She would have done it herself.
Yeah, take her to the priest.
Like, literally, a crucifix would have been taped. My chest.
This probably explains why there was no burlesque troupe in Uri until recently.
You know what? I was probably a witch burned at the stake in a past life. I genuinely think I would have been.
Yeah, maybe so.
I just love fucking it up. I love getting a reaction from people. I really do. Especially in Uri. Especially in my workplace. I just love when customers are like, "You can see something," or like, "You're not normally dressed this much wearing a t-shirt. What do you want? Take it off."
Yeah, so now you... Yeah, because it's just like, at this point, what do you want?
It's like, what do you want me to remove the clothing?
But I am dressed.
Like, what do you want?
Is it worse when I'm not dressed or when I am?
Do you want me to wear a scarf to work? Like, what? Just tell me what you want. Like, Jesus.
See,
it is ridiculous.
I think from the small town thing, years and years ago when I was a teenager, I used to dye my hair. So obviously, because I'd look weird with the old off-the-shoulder t-shirt.
You're mad.
So I used to dye my hair. Well, I played drums in a band called Too Fat for Porn. So
Too Fat for Porn?
Mm. That was a band.
Please change all of your handles in social media to Too Fat for Porn.
No, because then if you Google me, it's going to be really weird. No, I didn't come up with the name, so I don't have copyright in that one anyway. So that belongs to a couple of guys from More In Point. We were like 18, 19, and so I used to dye my hair. I had my hair like post-box red and purple and a couple of different colours, blonde. The worst thing that happened was a girl who I was dating in Europe years ago used like crazy colour to dye my hair. It's sort of like a washout one.
Oh my god.
What happened was whenever I was bent over the bath and we were washing it out, some of it ran into my eyebrows, which if you can tell in my profile picture for the podcast, I have blonde eyebrows but sort of reddish hair. So when I dyed my hair purple, the dye ran into my eyebrows. So I had pink eyebrows for all. And the people of Newry were unsure about that look.
I'm sure they were.
So this is how I promoted a reaction from the people in the small town.
Oh my
God. Not in the same way as you, but it was certainly they were looking
at
me.
We're both doing it. We're both getting a reaction in some way.
Exactly.
We are messing up this little small town in the middle of nowhere. Like,
I know. But the other thing is, well, I mean, we both live in Belfast. But you're studying, are you?
Yeah, I'm finally. You're English and French.
English and French?
Yes, oui.
You were away. That, I hope you've learned more than that.
You know what?
I even know that one, but.
Damn it, do you thought I was pulling out a surprise there? Yeah, no, I was away in France last year, but we're not going to talk about that because that was a very traumatic and bad year.
You didn't like France?
I love France, but I was...
Oh, because you're studying while you're there, yeah.
No. I was teaching. I was an English assistant in a high school, but I was put... And you don't get a choice of where you're going, so I was put in the middle of nowhere, a town called Brignoles. Where? Exactly. Brignoles. What? What is
I've
that?
I've been
is
in a few
food?
Places in France. Like, that's not one of them. So.
It's... Shit, it was a shit place, and it was just the teachers treated me very badly. And I was the average age was maybe 67. I lived with a 6-year-old French woman. I was the only person my age. Even the students traveled from the other villages into that tiny village because they had to, like, because there was nowhere.
Is it like the international school kind of thing? Is it?
It's not even. There were 1800 people in it, but it's just because it's a village surrounded by tiny other villages. So, like, it was, like, the main kind of high school.
Yeah, they have to pick one and be like, that's where the school
goes.
Yeah,
and be like, right, that's where it is. Like, we have no room in all of these fields, vineyards. Like, there's no other place to put
it.
Where
do we put the high school? EC.
So, I just had the worst year ever. Like, I couldn't do anything. I couldn't get out of the town except for the weekends. And even then, there were only, like, 3 buses a day. So, I had to be back at a certain time. I had to leave at a certain time. It was just shit. So, apart from that, that's all we're going to talk about that. Because I'll probably cry.
Okay, you see, because normally when I do the podcast and I hear people have lived abroad, I'm like, tell me about it. You just summed up an entire year in about 34 seconds.
Yep. Do you want to hear what I did daily?
And it wasn't
probably
great.
Not.
Fair enough.
I
was going to say, where's next for either the traveling or for the dancing? Do you ever get to incorporate the two? Like, I do comedy, but I travel as I go.
I haven't got to travel that far yet.
Yeah.
We've always just performed. Although Mum has performed in England and like the Edinburgh Fringe Festival and all.
Oh, cool.
And, like,
that's
amazing.
That's very impressive.
So, but, oh my God, yeah, I have performed abroad. But I did the Dance World Cup.
Where's that?
I forgot about that. It changes every single year, but whenever I was
got
doing
that.
Like,
where was it, sorry?
Whenever I actually was doing proper dance, like proper, oh my God, I take that back, but it's good, proper dancing. I meant like ballet, modern and tap. Like, we did the Dance World Cup, and the first year that I went to it, it was in Austria, in Villach, and it was beautiful, so we did that there. Representing Northern Ireland, came first in numerous teams, just repping that, you know. And then we went...
Carter just said a load of stuff that young people say that I wasn't totally sure of, so repping, representing.
Get with it, Darren.
That's get with it. Hang on. Get with it was an 80s one. I know that one. That's okay.
Okay, all right.
I think that
this.
Wasn't Saved by the Bell when I was younger.
Probably Saved.
See, you know what it is, though?
Of course I know what it is. Oh, my God, I wasn't living under a rock.
You were living in Newry.
I was. It was
exactly.
Good, probably.
There's a danger.
Night.
Some people in Newry couldn't even get RTE back in the day, so it's fine.
That is very true. And then we went to Brighton as well and won numerous titles.
Brighton's there. A cool city.
It's gorgeous. I was really shocked by it, actually.
Yeah, I've been there a couple of times. It's very, very nice.
It is a very pretty
good town to party in as well.
Oh, it is. It's great. Nice little seaside resort. Great, great, great pier. With all the amusements.
That's right, I have a pier.
Yeah,
last place I was in a pier was, I was in Blackpool.
Oh.
Doing some gigs. Not as nice as Brighton.
No. I've
three
heard
piers
that.
Though. Three piers.
Three?
Yeah.
How do you know which one to go to? How do you decide?
Well, we were booked on the central one, so it was
so
easy.
So you had to go there.
It was like north, south, central. I was like, there you go.
There
right
we go. We'll
town.
Choose this one.
It was across from the tower, so it was kind of handy.
Yeah.
But,
I think that's class.
So, you have, obviously, you have to finish up the degree first, so final year.
I do.
And then more dancing, or are you going home?
And
or?
Then, you know what? I would love to actually go to dancing, but I want to travel more a bit and live somewhere else that wasn't an absolute piece of shit.
Well, if you want to go somewhere you can speak French, you can go to Canada. I went there.
I know, I was actually thinking of Canada, but honestly, I'll be happy with wherever because I don't know what career I want to go into anyway. So we're going to move somewhere, possibly Paris for the summer. yeah, so I don't know what's in store. But I would love to continue dancing. In fact, if I could move somewhere and continue dancing, I'd 100% do that.
Well, I think that's it. I mean, one of the reasons to put you on the podcast is it's your art form, so that's what we want to hear about.
Yeah.
So if you can keep doing it,
would
definitely
be fantastic. Like,
yeah, that would be me like saying, oh, if I moved here I can't do comedy anymore.
Yeah,
so
that is that actually you've given me. Yeah,
yeah. So it's an idea, but yeah, I used to live in Canada, and Montreal and Quebec is beautiful, but
I've always wanted to go to Montreal.
They're fairly snooty whenever you don't try French,
which is understandable.
It is, but then there's also the fact that they don't speak French. They speak Quebecois.
Yeah, they do actually.
Which
is
based in French.
That is a very good point.
Which was explained to me by my good buddy Emily, who lives in Belfast but is from Montpellier.
Oh shit.
Yeah, she's been living in Belfast for like 14 years now.
Wow.
So she has this amazing thing where she has a very thick southern French accent, but then at the end of sentences she'll say, "Do you know what I mean?"
No way.
Yeah,
oh, that's class.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, no, you're right actually, because the Canadian French is completely different. So if you've grown up learning the Parisian standard French, like, you're going
yeah.
to be fucked.
So it was explained to me that Quebecois versus French, it's kind of like the languages evolved differently.
Mm.
So it would be kind of like if we were speaking English to somebody who spoke like Dickensian English, like some Victorian English.
Oh, it's
still sort of
level as
it's
that.
A little bit behind, whereas yeah. modern French has evolved a bit quicker.
Yeah.
Whereas Quebecois is like 300 years old.
Shit.
So, yeah. I mean, they do have the usual, but I didn't starve or, I know, you know.
Yeah, you could get
I worked out, it, like, my beer and please, my city play and my beer, and that was all fine.
The beer, that's all I need. Like.
Everywhere I travel in the world, if it's a different language, you learn 5 words. Yes, no, please, thank you, and beer.
That is, you know
so my
what?
Top travel
change
tip.
Change beer to wine, and I'm going to start doing that.
Okay, well, you can do that too. But the good news is, beer in most countries is beer.
So
or some form of
grand normally.
Nothing terrible will happen.
And I'm sure that they'd understand beer, like, if you went anywhere.
And the best one I found, and my fun fact before we wrap up the podcast, is that the word for beer in Vietnam is the Irish word for food. So it makes complete sense. So bia in BIA in Vietnam is the word for beer. So it's all good. Which the French also taught a lot of them to brew. Whenever that was a part
you
of the colony
just,
of Indochina.
That was just a roller coaster there that I was on with all that information.
I'm trying to tie it all back around, you see. So.
Love that. Shit, that was really yeah. interesting.
In comedy, we call it a callback.
A callback? That's not a fact.
Well,
you're on a roll, like.
I know, it's not too bad. So, but it all links in somewhere.
Yeah.
So, yeah, my recommendations definitely. Although I did also almost get into a fight. I was at a rock festival. It's a festival that doesn't happen anymore, but it used to be called Rock Fest.
Right.
And I went with a couple of my buddies that I met in Canada. And we were in a little tiny village in Quebec, population 900, called Montebello. And whenever the festival's on, 200,000 people show up.
Holy shit.
So what happened was, they have like the people of Quebec have like a feast day.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the festival of John the Baptist, so Jean the Baptiste. And they have all their little alouettes and their little flags tied around them.
Yeah.
Now, I had bought part of some of the Canadian training gear. So, like, the Olympics were on that year.
Yeah.
So I bought, because I got, like, a cool zip-up jacket with a maple leaf and it said Canada across the shoulders.
Right.
People in Quebecois see themselves as French-Canadians. They don't see themselves as Canadian.
Uh-huh.
So, a lot of similarities
yeah,
to here.
Like,
it's a lot of, like,
it's a matter
like,
of pride, like.
Yeah, it's like being Irish and living in Northern Ireland. You're like, I'm Irish. I'm
yeah,
not Irish.
Yeah,
that
yeah,
kind
yeah,
of thing.
Yeah.
So they have that. And a dude walked up to me and I obviously didn't know that I wasn't from Canada. But I didn't realise on the day when they were all dressed in their blue, I was wearing a red tracky top.
Oh my god.
And he like poked me in the chest, like where the maple leaf was. And he was like, maple leaf. I was like, whoa. And then I was
like, you could have got attacked.
Yeah, but then I was like, think to your GCSE French. And I was like, just be in on this. And he was like, what? I was like, I'm Irish. And then I was like, giving it, you know, the apologies, je ne parle français. And he was like, oh, the guy was drunk. And then he was like,
battered.
It was very funny because then he explained, he was like, today is the festival of Jean de Baptiste, so this. And he poked me again and he went, not today. And then I went, I've already told you, je suis irlandais, now fuck off. So after me apologizing, I was like, I'm gonna punch you in the face if you do that again.
Like,
so
at least be understanding of that.
I didn't realize it was a thing, so it was interesting. So,
and you also still spoke French back to him.
I tried my best, and then there are also some people in Quebec where if you speak French but they deem it not good enough, they'll just kind of answer in English, but kind of arsey.
Actually get that in a lot of areas in France.
I was like revving up to like order a sandwich or something. I was trying to remember I was like chicken trying to remember how to just order food.
Yeah.
And then I had a crack at it and the girl went, "You want a chicken sandwich?"
Oh, do you know?
And I was like, I fucking am trying here, okay?
It happens so much in Paris as well. Like I do, but I do think that is a big thing. Like they know English, they want to speak English as well. That is a big thing as well with the French, I find.
It's such a weird one though, because I get that they do want to speak English, but also I feel like they're easily offended if you just go, "Hey, why don't you speak English?" Or, you know, "Just speak English to me."
Yeah, no, and it is a very fine line. But people have this whole big, like, stereotypical view of the French is like they're so rude, and like, but they're actually not. And like, it's the whole thing. If someone walked into Grounded and started speaking Lithuanian to me, I'd be like, "What are you doing? Like, we speak English here. Why are you speaking Lithuanian? Like, at least try."
I think
it's not that big a deal to actually think that. So if they come in and said, "Hello, I only speak a bit of English. Coffee, please."
Yeah.
You have to do that everywhere, I feel. Like, in France especially. That's why there's such, like, an angry Frenchman, rude, very rude people, like, stereotype. Because not a lot of tourists actually try.
But this is something also that I've discussed with Emily. In France, where she comes from, they would deem Parisians as rude. But that's just, like, any big city. It's like London. So I feel like a lot of people only go to Paris when they go to France and take this negative.
Me up when people hate Parisians in general, because like it is.
No, it's. I think people get the wrong idea about the French in general. Like I've been to like Nice and Monaco is not part of France, but anyway, down in the south of France. Yeah. So and I thought the people were lovely.
They are.
But when I was in Paris, I thought people were a bit ruder. But that was because it's a big ass city.
It's also a very busy city. Everyone's in a rush. They're all like going to work.
But London's not nice like that. You know,
I like London. Nice I really like don't.
So I think that's difference of. But maybe people get that. Maybe people go to Dublin, which is kind of busy, and then they're
You know what? But there's going to be rude people everywhere, and you can't like just tar everyone with the same brush in any aspect in life.
I know, but also the fact of there being loads of rude people, I just wish that I didn't have to serve them their coffee and tea.
Ah, that is it. I just kind of hate people in general.
I'm going to finish the podcast, but I do want to leave it on a little saying that I don't know if I've invented it, but something definitely that I feel. There are two types of people in this world.
Right.
People who have worked in hospitality.
Yeah.
And bastards who sit at dirty tables.
A whole thing. And also actually three people who sit at a dirty table when there's clean ones available.
That's what I was getting
that's
at,
what you're getting at, yeah. But I just went into more detail there.
That's fine. Yeah, jokes aren't funny when you explain them, but thanks.
That was really shit.
That was gonna be my big finish.
That was a flop. Sorry, yeah. Flopped it.
This is why you're the dancer and I'm the comedian. It's fine. That's okay. That's right. Well, I'm going to wrap it up there, Caution. Did you enjoy coming on and talking shit for an hour?
I had an absolute ball talking shit.
No problem. I will send you links to all this and you can share it to all your friends. Woo! And we can all follow us. Before you go, your social media so people can check out your work.
Oh my God, guys, follow me. So Twitter is at Cotchfern. Cotch is spelled CAITFEAROM. That was Cotchfern, not just Cotch.
And there's
no hidden followers, but on Instagram I'm at CAITLINFEAROM_ Cotchlin Fern_ Yeah.
If you can't remember that, it's just Caitlin Fern, how you would say it.
The eye roll that just happened.
See, that's another callback. We finished where we started.
I love it.
A perfect start.
A pro.
No problem. Thank you very much for coming on today.
Thank you very much for having me.
So guys, check out the Scarlet Bells down in Uri. Check out Coxlin's personal, your Instagram and your Twitter if you want to get on. And definitely check out the rest of the thread if you're a hospitality worker.
It will constantly be added to.
And it is updatable. If you've got any personal experiences, jump in there.
Yes, tweet everything.
Throw us examples.
Share it all.
No problem. Right, I'm going to sign off. Guys, if you enjoyed the podcast, as always, like, subscribe to it wherever you find your podcast, and share it with your buddies. And I'm going to head on. I've been Darren Matthews. You can find me on my Instagram. I never remember to do this in my
you
own
have to
podcast.
Plug yourself.
Darren Matthews Comedy. It's a nice easy one to remember. And I'm on Twitter at Matthews Darren, which is maybe where you'll see the link to this podcast. So thank you for listening, guys. We'll get back on to another one for next week. Cochlin, say bye-bye.
Bye.